No, it wouldn't. That leaves two things for us to identify in our city, I said. One is self-discipline. The other is the object of our entire investigation. Justice. Yes. Well, is there some way we can find justice without having to bother about self-discipline? I don't know, he said. I wouldn't want it to make its appearance too soon, if that means giving up the search for self-discipline. If I have any say in the matter, please examine self-discipline first. Very well. My first impression is that it is more like a harmony or musical mode than the other two. In what way? Self-discipline, I take it, is a kind of order. They say it is a mastery of pleasures and desires, and a person is described as being in some way or other master of himself. And there are other clues of the same sort in the way it is talked about, aren't there? Indeed there are, he said. But isn't the phrase master of himself an absurdity? The master of himself must surely also be slave to himself, and the slave to himself must be master of himself. It's the same person being talked about all the time. Of course. What this way of speaking seems to me to indicate is that in the soul of a single person there is a better part and a worse part. When the naturally better part is in control of the worse, this is what is meant by master of himself. It is a term of approval. But when as a result of bad upbringing or bad company, the better element is too small and is overwhelmed by the volume of the worse element, this is a matter for reproach. They call a person in this condition a slave to himself and undisciplined. Yes, I think that is what it indicates, he said. Now, if you take a look at this new city of ours, you will find one of these situations prevailing. You will admit that it can quite legitimately be called mistress of itself, if something in which the better rules the worse can be called self-disciplined and master of itself. Yes, when I take a look at our city, he said, you are right. But you also find the whole range and variety of desires, pleasures and pains, particularly in children, women, slaves and among so-called free men in the majority of ordinary people. You certainly do. Whereas simple, moderate desires, which are guided by rational calculation, using intelligence and correct belief, are things you come across only among a few people, those with the best natural endowment and the best education. True, he said. Well, do you see the same qualities in your city? Are the desires of the ordinary majority controlled by the desires and wisdom of the discerning minority? Yes, they are. So if any city can be called the mistress of its pleasures and desires and mistress of itself, this one can. It certainly can, he said. In which case, can't we also call it self-disciplined in all these respects? Very much so. What is more, if agreement is to be found among rulers and ruled in any city about which of them is to rule, it is to be found in this one. Don't you think? I couldn't agree more. Well then, when they agree in this way, in which of the two groups of citizens will you say the self-discipline is located, in the rulers or in the ruled? In both, I suppose. See what a plausible prediction we made just now, I said, when we compared self-discipline to a harmony of some sort. Explain. It is not the same as courage and wisdom. Each of those was located in a particular part, yet one of them made the whole city wise, and the other made it brave. Self-discipline does not operate in the same way. It extends literally throughout the entire city, over the whole scale, causing those who are weakest, in intelligence, if you like, or in strength, or again in numbers, wealth, or anything like that, together with those who are strongest, and those in between, to sing in unison. So we would be quite justified in saying that self-discipline is this agreement about which of them should rule, a natural harmony of worse and better, both in the city and in each individual. I quite agree, he said.